A lot of things are unnatural.
Yeah, like when I
I don't know. I feel like the case where the nose ring was worth the palace was pretty ridiculous.
It wasn't worth the palace.
It wasn't worth the whole
palace. You haven't seen the nose ring, nor have you seen the palace.
So maybe the nose ring is worth more than the palace.
Palace. You imagine what a palace is.
That's not.
That is true. That is true.
Okay. Number one. A claimed from B wheat and B admitted to barley. According to all Tanaim, B is Patur Mishvur because Ein Ha'udah Mimen Hatana.
Correct.
False.
Okay. See, I can cheat now, though. We didn't have this
wrong,
advantage.
You don't have to write checks where it's correct. Just write an X when it's wrong. So that I just have
now
to
it's
going to
become obvious to everyone.
Okay. No one's there.
You can pretend to write each time.
I'm just sad that I already started
two,
the check game.
A claim from B, Karka V'Kalim. B admitted to owe some Kalim, but denied owing the rest of the Kalim and the Karka. B has to swear on the balance of the Kalim, but is exempt from swearing on the Karka.
False.
Why is it false?
Because he needs to take the shul on the carcass.
Because he owes more than the Kalim.
That's right.
Just simply
that's
that
right.
Example.
Correct. Number three. A ganav kidnapped an eved.
Sorry. I literally laughed while taking a quiz at this case also.
Doesn't that happen to you? A ganav kidnapped.
Thank God not.
I know. When the ganav is found, he will have to return the eved. But is exempt from paying kefil.
True.
There's no kefil payment if it's an eved that was kidnapped.
Is that connected, side question, to the fact that were there also patur bishula, right? Is that connected? Okay.
Yeah. Klali.
Number four. A shomer socher is watching hekdesh. If the hekdesh is stolen, the shomer socher is patur from paying but is obligated to swear.
False.
There's no shavua. Now, number five was really a complicated question, and I
should ask you to clarify.
The truth, whatever you wrote, is right.
What did you intend,
and then explain why it was confusing.
I wrote true.
I wrote false.
I wrote false.
Sorry, continue.
What?
I'm saying you were talking about a case of Mechira then, not
yes.
a case of Shomer.
Oh, I meant to ask you to clarify that,
but it sounded so much like Shomer that I was like, you don't need to clarify
okay.
this.
So therefore, the way I worded it was, I realized the mistake, but I forgot to change it on your quiz, so I feel okay. So all you have
You'll
to do is get...
Us too.
So basically, you got one free.
Solid.
Sounds like bingo.
Okay, number six, almost. We'll see how you do on the rest.
Well, I already know I got the next one wrong because I
six.
Thought you quiz.
A claimed from B that he owes him a room full of wheat. B replied that he only owes half a room full of wheat. B is exempt because the measurement is not precise.
False.
Because it is precise.
True.
It is precise.
Because the Mishnah mentioned also that it's something that cannot be counted. Right, so if you have a room full of wheat, you can't count how much you have there.
Sure you can. It's only to this point.
The assumption was like to the window, to the lintel. That's what it is saying. This was like a specified room.
Yeah, it's a specified.
Not just like, right.
Not a random room, you know, because I don't know.
Okay.
The answer is false. Seven. A malva accepted from the lova amashgon. The malva's responsibility to watch the mashkan is like that of a shomer chinam.
False.
That's right. Good. Number eight is actually, I actually gave it away in eight. The amount of the loan was a sella. The malva says the mashkan that he lost was worth 2 dinarim.
Oh.
The lova says it was worth 3 dinarim. Both the malva and the lova have to swear.
True.
Good. Does anyone remember why do they both have to swear?
Because there's a difference between how much they're claiming.
Well,
no,
the
malva
has to
swear that
he doesn't have the object.
And the
mashkon.
And then the lova has to swear to its value.
And then we go to this whole Mishnah. I don't have Mishnayos here, but unfortunately, the Kati's in English only.
But the mission is in
the mission is
yeah.
Okay.
What? I just wanted to prepare.
No, you just okay.
What do you think will happen to me?
On my interview for GPAS, you said never ever use English art scroll ever again.
That's not art scroll.
This is not art scroll.
Oh.
you know that's not art scroll.
Okay.
This is
what
like the hockey.
What was this
not
question?
Even on Mishnah.
Question number 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was in...
It's in Mishnah's parak.
Just so I have to clear my head. I feel like the hockey was talking also about like...
Yeah, so...
It was probably the last one in Parabab.
Yeah, it is. So what
it was
about
the last
it?
One in Parabab, and
you,
I was
think it's
could you just, I don't know, I feel like, was there like a discussion of, what would be a case that they wouldn't have to swear? Both of them? Like you said, both the Mav and Mova have
well,
to swear?
Well, if there's no Mota B'miktzas.
But if they're Mota B'miktzas, it's automatically they have to, both of them have to swear?
No.
With no, only the Malva has to swear if the Malva is the one who owes the money back. Like I'm saying, if you say that it's worth 2 dinarim and I say it's worth 3 dinarim, so I owe you money, or I can't remember if I'm saying it wrong, but that's when I say, I swear that I don't have the mashkon, and I swear that that's the value that I owe you in one, and then the Lova swears nothing. Is that what you're thinking about?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about. When they swear.
So you got it?
So in this.
You go over the Mishnah.
Yeah, okay, I'll go over the Mishnah.
Just go over the Mishnah.
Okay,
it's not
cool.
I found that one to be significantly confusing. I think I read it multiple times, and I still wasn't... All I got was a claw at the end. Like, if someone asked me this specific
case... Oh, the Mishnah,
case,
not
remember,
the question.
Yeah.
The Mishnah was
the Mishnah.
The Mishnah
it gave
was
so
asking
many
who
cases.
Swears first.
Well, no, but that was only at the end. That I understood because
okay,
it said
that
the person who has the malva would have to swear first because if he
so
ends
that,
up producing
that's
it
right,
after.
That's right. So that
made sense.
They both swear. So.
No, that made sense. It was all the back and forth earlier about
numbers.
The different quantities.
Well, it's just the numbers, that's all. You have to just figure out.
Yeah.
Is the guy, is the Lova, who, is any, is either one of them a Kofar HaKol or a Moda B'Mitzas? Because you could have it either one.
Could but so it was just, I think if...
Because let's say if the Lova claimed that the Mashkin was worth 2 sloyim.
Yes,
yeah, so
I thought there was math involved, then it was...
Wait, is it Vav?
It's Vav, Mishnah Chet.
The last Mishnah
in okay.
But the thing was is that I felt that the... You know, obviously I'm not writing my own version of Mishnayot, but if I were, I felt that it could have been distilled into principles, like, and I even wrote that in my notes, like, if the Mashkon is equivalent to the loan, then, you know, nothing. If the Mashkon is greater in value than the loan, then X. If the Mashkon is less, and...
That's what the Mishnah did,
but I wasn't sure,
by enumerating
though,
cases. So.
So when I was reading all the cases, I wasn't sure if there was specific value to each different case, meaning like a...
Well, they're telling you the value.
No, I'm saying I meant differences, nuances in each case. I wasn't sure if they were trying to say, if the difference in value is only this amount as opposed to this amount.
No.
So that's why I
found
it so confusing.
The issue was about, is there is someone
a
still owe money to someone
yeah.
else? Or there's a claim that you owe money, and what is the other person saying to that claim?
I realized that on the fourth time through.
What?
I realized that on the fourth time through.
Okay. That was number 8, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Number 9. Nishba v'notel is not a Torah concept.
No, I read it backwards.
What? Concept Torah A not is.
Wait, no, maybe I didn't. I think I read as Nishba v'notel is a Torah concept.
Well, I'm sorry. I have to read it. So the answer is.
But I wrote true.
You wrote true.
But I wrote
Consider
Mishnah.
Consider yourself lucky,
Consider
then.
Consider yourself lucky.
Maybe I misread it this first, this
Number
next
10.
One.
Yeah, probably. Asachir.
Wait, it was true, right?
True.
Just No, because I got confused after all that back.
How did you read the next one? Right?
It's not a Torah concept. It's Chukas
HaGoyim. English is not my first.
That's literally when I first read it, I was like, what do you mean it's not a Torah concept?
Asachir is a Nishba Venoto because the Baal HaBayis may not be certain of his claim, even though he says he is.
True.
Number 11. According to one opinion, of Sacher is Nishba Venalta, but only if the Baal HaBayis is Mota B'Mitzas.
Yes, Rabbi Yehuda.
True. That's right, Rabbi Yehuda.
And when in doubt, Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah. I remember Meir.
Number 12. A accuses B without any supporting evidence that he stole from him. B denies it. A is a Nishba Venalta.
False.
False.
This was an 8 of 5.
Or no, Edom saw him go in with nothing, and then they saw him come out with stuff, but they don't know what
it is. I'm imagining this guy.
He's literally like,
I know you didn't ask me that.
They
said that it was two Edom. I thought the case in the Mishnah was one Edom.
Edom saw the guy go in. Two Edom.
Oh, I assume that it was
one. Would it have mattered if it was only one?
Well, if it was one.
If it was only one, are we.
Well, I don't know.
Do we rely on the Edom
first? Yeah, but here, this would be different. This would lead to establishing whether it's true that they saw him go in.
Right.
So I don't know.
Okay.
Number.
Quiz.
What am I up to?
13.
A nechval is a nishba venota because we don't assume he would deliberately injure himself.
True.
That was one of the reasons.
So this was one of my favorite copies.
A claim from B, $100. B admits to $40. B is obligated and told to swear even though he is a professional gambler.
False.
Right, a professional gambler is chashur al hashur.
I like the bird.
What about
Mafri Chayim? You guys have to wear that Gemara on
Sunday. That was my favorite.
Only if he learns it, he earns his livelihood from gambling. That's a masachik.
I was trying to figure out though why bird racing was considered as bad as gambling. It didn't say they won anything. It just said
they said you're not making birds for no purpose.
Why? Just for fun?
No.
Oh, they bet money.
This is very innocent.
They basically bet money.
They like very they had cockroach races.
Let's continue. Let's not let this deteriorate.
Okay.
Number 15. A claims from B $100. B admits to $40. Both A and B are chashudim al hashvu. According to one opinion, B will have to pay the full $100.
Yes. Close their hashvu al komo.
That's
right. I just need to make sure before I say it out loud.
16. In the case of Chenvani al Pinkaso.
I did not pronounce that right.
We do because we did this in
I say Chenvani al Pinkaso.
Wait, can you say
discuss the Chenvani al
We did? Okay.
It's like Tisha Chanio.
In the case of Chenvani al Pinkaso, the Baal Bayis might have to pay twice to be two claims. Yes, it's true.
That one I also found extremely confusing.
What, the case?
Yes.
Very interesting. Can somebody tell me what the case is?
Oh, should I try?
Please do.
So there are two options.
Tell me what happened.
The Baal Bayis comes to him and says, please give my sons an amount of fruit, like three apples.
Two
salas of apples, let's say.
And
this is where I'm going to mess up. But then the Baal Bayis says that he'll pay the storekeeper for the apples. And then the storekeeper claims that he never got paid, and the kids claim that they never got the apples. If they both take a shua, then the Baal Bayis will have to pay.
If they both take a shua,
the kids and the storekeeper. That the storekeeper says I never got the sela, the kids swear that they never got the apples.
And then what happens?
The Baal Bayis has to pay the sela to the storekeeper, and I guess pay the worth of the apples to the kids.
Yeah.
And then the kids also an opinion that said that they don't. At the end, it said that they don't both swear.
Yeah, but there is one opinion that says
And the same would be the other case of the Mishnah was not only kids; it was also give small change, and I'll give you a sela for the small change. I think the Mishnah.
Yeah, the money lender.
Same principle. Then I just asked in 17, which is a continuation. In the above case, there is a machlokas tanam of the two claimants. Anishban the Nodlin, the answer is that's true. A purchased from B 5 pounds of fruit and took possession of them. B said to A, you haven't paid me yet for the purchase. A says he did. According to the Mishnah, A has to swear to B.
False.
Why is it false? What?
The one who has possession.
No, A has possession.
B has to swear in this case, but if he didn't take possession of them,
B has to swear.
I got it right, but if you take out the part of possession of the apples, then A would have to swear.
When you take it, where, then where are the apples?
They're still sitting in, well,
maybe it's just an apple that is like Shukar Rabin.
Not like it was in... If the apples were in Rishus HaRabim, then A would have to swear in order to collect. But since A already has possession of the apples, of the fruit, then basically what is this a claim of? I have possession of the apples. I say I paid you already. You're saying I didn't. So it's a Mosim HaVer, Lof HaRaya. You have to think about what the case is. If I have the apples in my possession already, and I claim I paid you for them, right? Now you say, I gave you the apples, I know, but you didn't pay me. I said, I did pay. So basically, what is this down to? You want money from me, and I say, I don't owe you a penny.
If you want money, you have to show the apples.
Now, if you think that I didn't pay you, then which is going to be hard to prove, but I'm just saying that's what would have to happen. Okay? Next. Where are we? What number? 19. A woman says to her ex-husband that he only paid her part of his ksuva obligation. He responded that he paid it in full. She has to swear in order to collect the balance. True. 20. Yes. And Eidacha testified that the ksuva was paid in full. The woman says it was not. She will not be able to collect the ksuva even if she is willing to swear. That's false.
Because
the same principle again, if Neidachot said it was paid, she would have to swear to contradict him in order to collect. But if she is willing to swear, she would be able to collect.
So when the woman says that it was not, does that mean that the ketubah was not paid in full, meaning she only got half, or that she wasn't paid
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter if it's kovar kol versus a mozib and mixed up kind of situation. Okay, I think that confirms.
21. The Yisomim Shal Hamalva can collect from the Yisomim Shal Halova if they are willing to swear. However, this is true only if the Lova died first, before the Malva died.
False. Way around.
It's the other way around.
This is can you just clarify the point it made was something about the...
Beno Domora Shavuol Lebanov.
Yes, that is exactly what I wanted you to explain. So you that the lova wouldn't pass along a shvua, but clearly he is passing along the chov for it is the sentence. The
yeah, but you can't.
So I was just trying to figure out why the dafka said like we're not going to pass. There's no he's not going to have his descendants inherit a shvua, but right. He would have them inherit.
You understand? Because if the lova died first and the malva is still alive, then the malva, in order to collect from the yisomim of the lova, would have to swear. Now, if the malva then died, the shvua that he would have had to take to collect from the yisomim of the lova, only he could take that shvua. That shvua could not be taken by his children, because he can't be morish the shvua to his own children. Now, if the malva died first, then what? If the malva had died first, then the lova, the children of the malva don't have to swear to collect from the lova himself. So then if the lova then died before he paid, then they're going to impose a shavua on him. Because they're not inheriting the shavua from their father. You understand?
So it's really only the atonement of the malva who don't inherit the shvua, or also the atonement of the lova? I thought it was talking about the atonement of the lova.
The atonement of the malva cannot inherit the shvua from their father in order to collect.
Okay.
Number 22. A Baal HaBayis suspects but is not certain that his aris stole from him. If the aris denies the accusation, he will have to swear even though the Baal HaBayis is in doubt.
True.
23. A lova is obligated to swear a shvua of moda b'mitzas. If the year of Shemitah passes, the lova is still obligated to swear. False. That the Shemitah cancels out. Not only the chov of the dead itself, but the chov of the shvua as well. A shol is obligated to pay even for an onus. True. 25. According to the Mishnah, a socher has the same obligation as a shomer chinam.
False.
Shomer
Sachar. 26. A shomer, a shomer chinam claimed the animal he was watching died from natural causes, and he swore accordingly. Afterwards, the shomer chinam admitted that he swore falsely, and the animal was actually stolen, but not due to his negligence. The shomer chinam would be obligated for violating shlos hapikadon. False. Why is it false?
Because it was not due to.
Because he went fear up mamlo. There's no
fear up anyway.
Anyway.
That's right.
That was when it said that fine. I'm like, oh, principles. Mm-hmm. There's no kfira mamo, there's no show. I was like,
right.
Thank you.
27. The shomer chinam tells the owner that his animal was lost and he swears accordingly. Afterwards, witnesses testified that the animal was actually stolen by the shomer himself. The shomer is obligated to pay keren chomesh v'yosho.
Oh,
false. Only the
Karen.
But if he admits to it, then he has to pay the Karen Chomesh Vasha.
Yeah.
Because he didn't admit, he has to confess.
But what would he have
to pay? I also thought that was
he won't pay what he's
got. So it's like Rav Khan, is the animal still alive? Because
what?
27, he pays Kefil instead, not Karen Chomesh Vasha. No?
Yes, it turns out that he was. Yeah.
Not just the Karen Chomesh
Vasha. Not Karen Chomesh Vasha. Yeah, he'd have to pay Kefil too.
Yeah.
28.
So, in accordance with that Mishnah, my favorite Mishnah was when he said that the animal was lost, but actually he ate it.
Okay.
That was my response also.
Okay. The Baal HaBayis asked the Shoel to return the animal. The Shoel responded that he never borrowed the animal and he swore accordingly. Afterwards, the Shoel admitted that he lied and the animal actually died in a natural disaster. The Shoel is Chayiv.
True.
True.
It involved kfiras mamon.
There's kfiras mamon. 29, a shomer socher said the animal died naturally, and he swore accordingly. Afterward, the shomer admitted he lied, and the animal was actually stolen. The shomer is chayev keren chomesh v'yosha.
True.
Involves
kfiras mamon.
And finally, kol ha'mishana michov l'chov chayev.
False.
Okay. Just give it. Want to just count up how many X's and write the number at the top?
Oh, how many X's?
You don't have to do it out of
30. Then you're
out of 30. You could
I did it out of 30.
Fine, like write, 25 out of 30.
Ow.
30 out of 30.
Yeah, aim high.
Okay.
30 out of 30.
Oh, that's nice. Okay. You got the first one wrong.
So no, that's a check.
Oh,
that's before
a check.
You told us to not do check.
Oh, okay.
You got the first one wrong.
Okay. That's your welcome.
Thank you,
Rachel.
Yeah, this was not.
I literally can't reach.
But can I just say what's funny is that I thought that I knew the material for the last quiz way better than for this one, but I did significantly worse.
There were a lot more tricky questions. There were 40 on the last one, and I think this is harder material. Well, last one also, it was like,
did Rabbi Meir say this, or is your Rabban Gamliel say this?
Yeah.
And you were like,
by the way, did you know that Rabban Gamliel in the first Mishnah was the one who was cholek with the Chachamim? So that if you asked us a question on who like disagreed with the Chachamim, I knew it was going to be Rabban Gamliel.
No, Rabbi
Yehuda
also was cholek.
Where did we leave off?
Rabbi Meir. We're
in the Gemara and Sanhedrin.
Yeah. We just did the Mishnah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Gemara. Let's go through the Gemara. Now the Gemara raises the issue about the Machlokes and the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Is in what case? The Gemara first cited Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Machlokes, second line of the Gemara, B'machulach, Abba Be'etenlach, Divrei Hakol, Yocholach Zerbo, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Be'etenlach, Machlokes, period. So the Gemara here cites a Machlokes Amorayim. This Machlokes between the Meir and the Chachamim is the... One opinion says the machlokes is in the case of machlokes. I'm just going to change the word. We'll explain it in a moment. But if it's a case of etein law, Shmuel thinks everybody agrees yocholach zerbo. And Rabbi Yochanan says the etein law machlokes. And Rabbi Yochanan thinks that the machlokes is in the case of etein law. Now the Gemara then continues. That there's something about Rabbi Yochanan's position that is unclear. The Gemara proceeds to examine Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that Because Rabbi Yochanan says the machlokas is an etay law. What the Gemara didn't know was what?
If Rabbi Yochanan thinks both are a machloket or just Be'er Tzemach and
machloket. But machalok will be what?
If I call
or ain't yochol?
Ain't
yochol,
sorry.
So leaving that issue aside, that's not for our purposes, that's not so important. Let's just go review this difference between what is machalok mean versus etenya. Can someone explain it?
Did
you try with Rashi?
Yes, we did.
And there was a machlok on Rashi.
I'm saying, like, maybe we got it, but I'd rather not speak about it.
Yeah.
I can try.
You don't want to speak about it.
Not talk about
it. So the case of machalcha is in the case that the Toveya, the Toveya says...
Who's the Toveya? Make up... Use people here.
Oh, okay.
A.
Rachel is the Toveya.
Is it upside down?
And she says to me that I agree that if your father, so my father, is the Dayan in our case, that we're agreeing, that and then your father rules in your favor, so my favor, that this is confusing, but it's me, sorry, then I'll be mochel your debt, so you won't have to pay back, so I'll agree with the din, essentially.
Stop right there, good.
But can you reset it?
Say it again.
Okay, I'm going to do not me, because it can't
get yeah, don't, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So Rachel lends Rachel $100, and then Rachel says, I don't owe you $100. I only owe you $40. It doesn't matter.
Well, doesn't even need to be that.
Whatever.
Let's
just
don't owe you any money.
No, there's a disagreement.
Don't make it. It's just more confusing.
So Rachel says, "No, I don't owe you any money." And then they go to court, and then they get to court, and then Rachel's father is on the Beit Din that day, and Rachel says, "Don't worry. Even if Rachel's father rules like Rachel, because obviously we'd assume that Rachel's father would be biased towards Rachel,
Go ahead, leave that.
Maybe not
out.
Necessarily after.
You don't need to say it.
But yeah. Any case that the dying is hustle in some way, whatever, I'll agree, and if it rules in your favor, then I'll follow that din. I'll be mochel your dad.
That's right. No, the point is, Racheli says that Rachel owes her $100.
This is machalcha, please.
Yeah, this is.
Okay. No, I'm just checking.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, okay, everybody's spaced in, not spaced out. We all in.
My question is, aren't we assuming that the Dayan is reliable? Like, if we have
yes,
a,
we are.
Okay.
Okay, but the Dayan happens to be puzzled to be a Dayan in this case.
Okay.
Now, Racheli says to Rachel, since your father is one of the Dayanim, you're saying, I accept his ruling, and even if the ruling goes against me, where it'll say that Rachel doesn't have to pay the $100, you're okay with that, and you're willing to, even though you believe that the $100 is owed you, you're willing to be machal the $100 debt. That's a case of machalach. Let's just get the cases. What would be your case of etenlach?
When it's the other person. So Rachel says...
Rachel is the one that...
We can use the
same situation.
But Rachel says to me, and if the Dayan rules in your favor, in my favor, I'll give you the $100.
Who was owed?
You owe me
the $100.
Rachel is claiming that you owe her $100.
Oh,
so
okay,
you
yeah.
say that.
So yeah, I'll pay her
if
back.
One of the Dayanim is a father. You say, look, I accept the ruling of this court, even though one of the Dayanim is my father or your father.
Yeah.
I am willing to accept the ruling of the court, and if the court rules against me, meaning that I owe the money, then I'll pay. I will give the $100 to Rachel. This is what Rachel pledged. So that would be a case of etain law, because if the courts rule in favor of Rachel against Rachel, then Rachel had initially pledged to pay the $100. That's a case of etain law. Now the Amoraim are debating that what the machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim, and what type of a case is it? Now, the first opinion, Shmuel thought that the machlokas is only in the case of Machalach, where it was that Racheli took the initiative to say that if the court rules against me, then I'll be Machal the debt. It's only in that situation, claim Shmuel, you have a machlokas Rav Meir and the Chachamim. But, claim Shmuel, if it were the reverse, if it was that Rachel made the claim that she would be willing to pay if the court rules against her, no rules in favor of Rachel.
Meaning that I took a debt.
That you owe money to Rachel. Rachel. You owe money to Rachel. So you have to pay it. So if you made the pledge, to, which is an etenoch, Shmuel thought there's no machlokas. And everybody would agree, yacholach. Now who can explain me the logic of that? What does it matter whether the initiative came from Rachele Hizbetoveya and she was willing to be mochel versus Rachel, if she took the initiative and she said, you know, let's say if your father rules in your favor, I'll pay you.
Why would there be a difference between Macholcha versus a Tenocha? Or why there would be a difference between a voluntary...
They're both voluntary.
Right, versus something given by the
police. They're both voluntary. But there's a difference whether Racheli does the volunteering or Rachel does the volunteering. Now, Rashi explains it.
Is this the first Rashi? Because we were very confused about this first Rashi.
No.
The Mecholacha.
No, it's going to be the
Mecholacha. Yitoveya Amar Lenetva.
Yeah.
Ne'man alai Abba Avicha. Im Yitzchucha. Yehe Mecholacha. Hatzam Ke'amar Yerabanan. Eno Yacholach Zorbo. Dehazata. Zebima. Shebiyado. Mekivan Shiyata Zakai. Did you guys understand it?
I mean, what I suggested, but I don't think we understood what it meant and how it connected to the other case, was that when the Tovea makes this statement of B'mecholacha, he is being maknat, for lack of a better term, the whatever money that...
He's mochel.
Yes.
Yeah, he can't be
You're mochel.
How can it be mom?
Yes, but I thought that the whole point was that he is, Rashi says he's mizake, whatever the nitva currently has in his hand, he's mizake that to him, I thought,
it's,
no?
It's not like you're not giving actually, you're being mochel at that.
That's what I'm saying, like, that was how he translated it, I don't think.
Okay, what it means is the following. In the case of mocholoch, at what point would the mechila kick in?
As soon as the
Beis Din issues the verdict.
Yeah.
So let's say if the verdict is that Rachel is what? Doesn't have to pay the $100.
Right, automatically.
Well, automatically what will happen is the mechila will...
But the eten has...
But in eten, there's still an action that's required. The act of giving.
Mm-hmm.
Now you haven't given it yet. So therefore, according to Shmuel, if there's still an action required and that hasn't happened yet, so then Shmuel thought that even both Rav Meir and the Chachamim would agree you could be chozer because it's not a done deal yet.
Mm-hmm.
See, if no further action is required, but simply the mechila that Racheli had pledged to do, if the courts rule in Rachel's favor, there's no action. There's no further action that Racheli has to do in order for the mechila to kick in. It'll just kick in immediately because. So, once it kicks in, it's like it's a done deal already. There's no way to retract from it. See, if it's an etain loch case, then you haven't given the money yet. So therefore, if Rachel hasn't given the money yet, she can say, well, you know what, I changed my mind. I don't want to apostle Dayan to be on the court. You understand? While Rabbi Yochanan felt, no, that No, the machlokas is even in the case of etin. Now, whether Rabbi Yochanan thinks the machlokas is also a machlokas or not, that's what the Gemara focuses on, but it's really not important for our purposes. We're not even going to work on that. So we have this issue about machlokas versus etin. Now,
are we skipping
the... Well, I'm only interested in going through the Gemara. Now, the Gemara then, you know, raises to see who, to try to prove whether Rabbi Yochanan said it in both cases, both, I mean, in the Etein Lach plus the Machalach or not. So the Gemara goes through it. Again, I'm only skipping it for our purposes. So that's what you have to do. You know, you have to go through this Gemara, and you're trying to just take out the principles that you need in order to understand Tosfos. So of course, it's hard to do that without learning through the whole thing. But as you do it, you know, you can then you can realize, oh, this is here, this is this. Now, what other issue then comes up?
According to Rish Lakish,
that the Gemara then discusses something else, whether the machlokis is lefnei Gemara din, leachar Gemara din. Okay. This is another issue. So the second issue is that this machlokas from Meir and Lechachamim, is the machlokas, is it Liachar Gemara Din, or is it before the Gemara Din? So meaning, so let's go through who said what. So Reish Lakish felt, machlokas is lifnei Gemara Din, avo Liachar Gemara Din, divrei akol en yachol achzer bo. So Reish Lakish believes that the machlokas from Meir and Lechachamim is when? Is before the Gemara Din. What do you mean before the Gemara Din? So therefore, in the case of, you know, if one of the Dayanim is the father, so what would it mean before the Gemara Din? Before
the verdict.
Before the verdict was rendered. You know, let's say they're still deliberating. They haven't decided yet what the verdict should be. So while they're deliberating, this is what Reish Lakish claimed. It's then that Rav Meir and the Chachamim argue whether he could be chazer or not. But once the verdict was rendered, right, once you have the Gemara Din, then what? So claims Reish Lakish, it's too late. Everybody would agree, Ein Yochel Lachzer, because the verdict came in. Okay. And Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. He says the Achar Gemara Din is also the Machlokas. I should say also. The Achar Gemara Din is the Machlokas. And the Gemara has the same doubt about Rabbi Yochanan in this scenario as it did in the earlier one. What's the doubt that the Gemara
is it also Lifnei?
What about Lifnei Gemara Din? Does Rabbi Yochanan think they argue there too or not? Okay. So actually, this one, the Gemara did conclude what? Lachar Gemara Din.
Is Einar Yachal Achzor
Abba? Shema Minah, Liachar Gemara Din is Machlokas.
Oh, Machlokas.
Yeah, so Liachar Gemara Din is the Machlokas. And the Gemara continues to say, and the Gemara then went on to say what? And the halacha is like who?
Chachamim.
So that the Gemara concluding that the Achar Gemara Din is the Machlokas Rabbeinu and the Chachamim, and we paskan like the Chachamim, so that the Achar Gemara Din Einu Yochel Lachzor.
So it's Einu Yochel Lachzor for both cases.
Yachol.
Yeah.
So the Achar Gemara Din, then En Yachol Lachzor Bo, because we passed it like the Chacham. Okay. And the Gemara also talks about, and what about the issue of Machalach versus Etein Lach? That the machlokas is the etein loch. You see that in the Gemara? And again, the halach is kedivrei chachamim. Isn't that right? So what would that mean then?
That inner yachalach
song. That even in the case of et tenloch, en yachalach zerbo, when?
In an et tenloch case, in which I said to Rachel Lebrow.
Liachar gemar din. So liachar gemar din. Right,
would
be
oh, A plus B.
Right, Liachar Gemar Din, if it's a case of Etinloch, then what? Then, En Yochalach Zerbo. Now, there was a final thing the Gemara said was, if there was a Kenyan done, did you understand that at the very end? What do you, I'm asking this now. The Kenyan was done at the very outset. In other words, what do you mean at the very outset? What do you mean there was a kinyan? What kinyan? What's going on? Understand what this is?
I'll explain
what kind of them. What kind of a kinyan is this?
I thought it was
what?
I thought it was because of it. So let's say there's a loan, and Rachel is lending me $100, and to safeguard that $100, she takes my phone. So that's what I thought the kinyan. But that's not it.
She
okay.
Takes your
that.
Phone.
As a
mashka.
Oh, yeah, as a mashka. Sorry, I speak up. But no. Okay, I take it back.
Okay. You know you can't take anything.
Yeah, now it's all on my Torah.
Once you say it.
You know Yachalach Zorbo.
Oh, Yachalach Zorbo. Okay. Anybody else? You should. This. I'm sure we've had it.
You suggested came up something.
Last year.
I don't.
Last year?
Yeah, I'm sure it came up.
Uh-oh.
Absolutely it came up.
What are we talking about this whole... again?
What did we learn last year?
Kiddushin?
Kiddushin, didn't
yeah.
we?
That woman's
oh
more
goodness.
Valuable than
can
a person.
Can you say it again?
No, no, no.
Say
no.
it again when you're looking for us. Can you say your own
words? I
want to
know what this Kenyan is.
See.
We spent a ton of time last year.
We spent a ton of time.
A ton.
On what kind of Kenyan this is.
Was it Khalifan?
Was it Khalifan?
Yes.
The Hava did
I
say
did
that.
That.
She did say that.
You had no reaction, so I thought it was wrong.
I didn't hear it.
I said Khalifan.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Okay.
I didn't hear
well,
it.
I'm so sorry, because I'm
Baruch Hashem, she got it right.
You're right.
Well, that was just because I knew
well,
we spent a lot of time.
I would have given him
should
the credit.
Should we explain
right
Khalifan for those who don't
know?
The Hava. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Should we explain
yeah, what is that?
Kenyan Sudar, you know
I
it.
I probably got it wrong.
If you if you lift this up, you'll then get my karka.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. And you get my
that's
karka
it.
And you
it.
Get nothing.
Okay.
How is that not the outset?
A Kenyan Khalifa.
The outset.
We spent like 4 months.
Or it's also called a Kenyan Sudar.
Because can you get married?
Serves many, has many functions.
Yes. Okay.
Now, the function that we're talking about here is that a Kenyan Sudar is also used to create an obligation to do something.
Yes, yes.
Now, we know that a Kenyan Sudar can actually cause an acquisition of property. In other words, if I want to sell you a house, the method of Kenyan could be a Kenyan Sudar, which would mean that the buyer would hand over, let's say, some kli. Could be usually a handkerchief,
a pen,
any type of a kli. So the buyer would give it to the seller, and that would be symbolic of giving him something. And when the buyer gives the seller the pen, he now gets in return the house. Of course, he has
to pay.
For that.
That's what you mean by obligation.
Yeah. No obligation. So here, the obligation is not because of the Kenyan Sudar.
Isn't that the obligation?
The Kenyan Sudar is simply, it causes a transaction. Now, once you get the house, you owe me for it. Because it's not a gift.
It's like dominoes.
That's not what I meant by obligation.
Yeah, what did you mean by obligation?
I'm gonna get
okay, it. I thought that's what you meant.
No, that's not what I meant. But what will
but once
be,
you get the house, you have to return the sudar, you just said?
Oh.
Yes.
that was a long discussion.
The custom was to return.
Oh, because that was a cut. No, just custom.
Yes. Okay. Let's not get sidetracked. So, however, what I'm talking
so
about is something that happens at every wedding.
Let's yeah, but we're not at the chassan's tish, so.
Right.
Yeah, I did not know about the breaking of the plates till I saw the
tornado.
No, it's
something different.
It's when the
house
still happens
when
someone
accepts
it.
They also do
it
in
Yom
Kippur. When people sign the Torah, they do it in Yom Kippur.
They accept the ketubah on behalf of the woman.
Only if you're like Haredi.
Yeah, I'm talking about I'm talking about related to the ksuva.
They lift up the pet.
Oh, for them to acquire the ksuva. No, I'm not.
What does it mean? What is that? Nobody is selling anything at that moment. Nobody's buying anything at that moment. And so there's no purchase.
Yeah.
What's happening is that the chassan is obligating himself to pay a ksuva if this marriage should end in divorce. So it's a pledge. He's taking upon himself the obligation, and he takes on the obligation with a kinyan suitor. This is what I meant. So here, the role of the kinyan suitor is only to create an obligation. There's no other transaction going on. Nobody's buying a house. Nobody's purchasing something. None of that. This is simply a kinyan suitor to create the obligation. Now, of course, once you create the obligations, and now the chassan is in the case of the wedding, the chassan is obligated now towards the ksuva. So if anywhere down the years from now, if he decides, if they get divorced, that obligation that he took upon himself on day one will kick in, and he'll now have to pay the ksuva. Okay? That's what your husband did.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They should live stream it into the other room,
yeah,
so people know what's going
know
on.
About it because it's Zakai, so they can do it without you knowing.
But you should know.
It's a benefit to you.
Exactly.
But, like, practically, what does that mean he did? Sorry.
What?
Like, practically what action did he take?
He lifted a pen.
He acquired himself
a
whole
picture of it.
So, the Messiah?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of
pictures.
It's in your video,
I haven't looked
sure.
through our pictures. I don't know.
The Messiah Kedushin was acting on your behalf. So, that's when he gave the pen to the chassan, he was actually doing it for you. Because really, if you were present in the room, you would give him the pen.
Has that ever been a custom? At a point when
maybe
the chassan and kala were seeing each other?
There's no reason why not.
Probably happens in Sephardic weddings.
I don't know.
They don't have a bedekin. It just happens at their chuppah.
Oh, so I don't know. Then at that point, I mean, she could
if
give...
Well, they also do the ketubah at the chuppah.
Yeah,
yes.
So then
so probably
they have the kabbalah. So they have the kinyan there. So, I mean, I don't know if that's what they do, but technically, if they're together, she could just give him something.
Yeah.
Most recent.
Yeah.
So,
the
so getting back here, let's get back
then
to
the cow was super Ashkenaz.
What
so
will
what
this,
says,
one second. So this case here of what will be if the let's see the kid with Rachelie and Rachel that the litigation. Let's say Rachel made a kinyan with you, and that right away at the very beginning, and the kinyan was that you will abide by the decision of the court and you will not retract. You make such a commitment with a kinyan. You understand?
Oh, with a kinyan?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, with
that's
the
what Rashi's saying.
So they were made a kinyan. So we're talking about a kinyan suda. So if a kinyan suda was done where, if, with that kinyan suda, let's say Rachel pledged to commit to whatever the Beza says, and she will, and she pledged not to retract it. If there was a kinyan, what was the Gemara's conclusion? Ein liachar kinyan klum. What does that mean? Ein liachar.
There's no discussion.
Ein ochozer. There's nothing
that's
can go
it.
Back.
Kinyan is binding, and that's it. But that's only a case if they were what we call they were makabel kinyan.
So, practically in our case,
yeah.
Who would have?
So if I lend you $100, right? At the time that we lend each other...
Wait, no, now you just switched the case.
Okay, so you lend me
$100,
okay? And you want to make sure that I pay you back the $100. So you hand to me a pen and say, by your lifting up this pen, you're obliging yourself to live by
I
the
thought
day
it was once they're
no,
already at court
it would
and
really,
it's a contested
it would,
claim.
Let's say it would be the one who... You have to figure out who is... Who is gaining and who is losing?
I'm winning. So I got a loan of $100.
But that's not, we're talking now about the kinyan that you're going to be doing. In the kinyan, what is being said?
Okay. Before we get
let's
to
let's say
the
if the kinyan is that she's willing to pay you.
This is the Be'etenloch case.
Yeah, that's in the Be'etenloch case. But she says, I will pay if the courts side in your favor.
Okay.
And then we made a kinyan on it. What does the kinyan mean? And then if they decide in your favor, Rachel's pledging that she won't retract.
So I give Rachel a pen and
so
she
who is acquiring?
I guess I
Who's getting and who is giving up and who is receiving?
I'm giving and Rachel is receiving the obligation to pay. Does that make sense to say that?
Say it again.
Rachel is receiving.
What is she receiving?
The obligation to
pay. You're getting it. You're getting an obligation from her that she'll pay you.
Oh, okay. But she's taking upon herself the obligation.
That's not what I'm asking. I'm asking you who's on the receiving end.
Of the pen or of the obligation?
Of the whole case.
So it's like I'm essentially getting an IOU by her lifting up the pen.
Yeah, Rachel.
Just like in a Ksuva case, who's the receiver and who's the giver?
The woman receives.
The woman receives. So it's whoever is the one who's acquiring, receiving, that person hands the pen over to the other person. That's why in a marriage case, technically, who is receiving? The woman is, because she's now receiving what? What is she getting from her chasa?
The ketubah.
An eventual obligation.
The obligation to the ketubah. So she's receiving that. So therefore, she's the one that gives. So she gives the pen, and in return, she gets the obligation. So in our case, Racheli is going to be getting the obligation. So she will give Rachel the pen, and in return, Rachel is now obligating that she'll pay out to Racheli if the courts decide in Racheli's favor. So therefore, the kinyan suda would be that she would give, Rachel would give the pen to Racheli. Understand? Yes.
Rachel would give the pen to Racheli?
Yeah.
After the end of the din.
Because you also get the chov that I will listen to the Balei Din.
I'm sorry, did I say that wrong?
Didn't
I think
no, you I'm sorry, you give the pen. I meant to.
Okay.
You
also had this problem last
you
time.
Racheli gives the pen because she's receiving, so she gives the pen to Rachel.
I thought,
and in return, Rachel is giving her this commitment not to be hosted.
When you said she gave me the pen, I thought you meant like after the whole thing was over,
yeah,
she was giving me back the suit, and I'm like, let's not bring that, please. But so would it also make sense to say that if I give Rachel the pen, by Rachel accepting and lifting up the pen, she is accepting upon herself the obligation.
That's right. And not
okay.
to be chosen. That's right. That's exactly
okay.
it. So then she can't be chosen because she accepted it through the kinyan suda. Once you make a kinyan suda, that's fine.
It's the same thing as a shnar. Would it be the same thing as a shnar? Like if... Rahali lent me $100, and we both signed a shnar.
We both signed.
That
don't
no. Okay.
You don't need it. Okay, so let's now go back to Tostis. Okay.
We have to go to Sefer Hayash.
Well, did we finish Tostis?
No, but it.
What did I say?
Quoted both the Sefer Hayashar,
well,
the case in the Gemara and the Sefer Hayashar on it.
I understand. So, but what did...
You guys went to the Sefer Hayashar?
Yeah.
And
the Gemara and
Where Yashar. Did we actually go through the Tosfos yet?
We stopped where it says in parentheses,
Sanhedrin Aleph,
the Sham, that was the last thing that we did.
He told us the other day that he did this weird thing where he put sources from the Tosfos like on the source sheet box. And so he basically wants them to be
interspersed.
Okay.
So he says that this is not like the parish of Rabbeinu Tam and the Sefer HaYashar. What do you mean, b'shmata the neman alai abba?
In this statement.
In this case, in this sugya of Naaman Alai Abba, the Matzi Hadarbe. So we're going to go over Rabbeinu Tam, but at least Tosis is telling us what Rabbeinu Tam said. Okay, so tell me what he said. Tell me what what is Rabbeinu Tam's position about this issue, about, you know, can you be chozer? Rashi had said what?
You can't.
That once you leave Bezdin, you can't be chozer anymore. Isn't that right? Mm-hmm. Well, what is Rabbeinu Tam's position on
that? Dimati Hatzik, right? That he's able to go back.
Even what?
Even after Lahari Yatza Beis Din. Okay,
correct. So Rabbeinu Tam's shita is that you can always be chosen, even after you left Beis Din. Unlike Rashi, who said that once you leave Beis Din, you can't be chosen, it's too late. Rabbeinu Tam believes you can still be chosen even after you left Beis Din. So let me just ask you then a simple question. So at what point would Rabbeinu Tam agree that you can't be chosen?
After the din.
I don't know what after the din.
After you fulfilled the din.
Like, give me an example.
So let's say there's a ruling that I owe you $100. Like that, we went through the whole case that we went through before, and the basic rules that I do owe you $100. So up until the point that I give you the $100 back, we can be chosen on the din. But once I give you the $100 back, case closed.
That's right. Now, what do you think? well, that would explain the case of the Abba case. If you recall, remember in the Mishnah, there was another case to which we didn't review today, the Dorli B'chai Roshba case. So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what do you think?
Until
when can you be chosen? You can always be chosen, but there must be an end point. When, what is the end point, even for Rabbeinu Tam, that after that point you cannot be chosen? Yeah.
I would say when he takes the shvuah.
That's right.
But the real
doesn't
shvuah.
Matter.
No.
Even it doesn't matter that he does it in
yeah.
front of Beis Din. It just happens to be that in front of Beis Din is when the thing takes place.
If the guy actually took the shvuah that this person offered him, once he actually takes it, then it's a done deal. But until he takes the shvuah, it doesn't matter if they're in Beis Din, out of Beis Din, it doesn't matter anything. Right? He can still be chosen according to Rabbeinu Tam. So we're going to go through Rabbeinu Tam separately. I don't think it pays to start it now. We just have a couple of minutes. But let's just go a little bit further in Tosfos. And Tosfos then says, "Umei raya me'ahi dahamafkid." Can somebody tell me what that means? You see where I am in Tosfos? "Umei raya me'ahi dahamafkid." What does that mean?
And he, Rabbeinu Tam, brings a proof from the parak of hamafkid.
Yeah, from that of Hamafkid, yeah. What do you mean? What's in Hamafkid?
Like the part that we did in Baba Metzia.
I know, so what's there?
Now I'm trying to think which case he was talking about.
Is it you know which case? Sorry, you started to say. Which case? The case in Hamafkid.
The Harini Michelle
Lane
case?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you review what the case is?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. Tell me the case exactly.
I owe you money and I said I'll pay.
What do you mean you owe me money?
What
do you mean you owe me money? For what?
Because I lost an object of yours that I was watching. No, that's not it.
Maybe it is, I don't know.
Okay, that's it.
That's the case?
You gave me an object to watch, I lost it.
Okay.
I owe you the money.
Okay.
For the object.
That's the case?
Well, it was stolen, and I say,
so
and
never mind, I didn't lose it. It was stolen,
and you offer to pay.
What?
And you say, I'll pay.
Stolen, yeah. This
you
is
have,
a case
you have to pay.
You don't need to take a shua that it was stolen. Okay, and then I come back, and then I say, just kidding, I'm actually not gonna pay.
Yes.
And then that's. When we say, and that's when Tosfos.
When we say.
Sorry, well that I know up to that point.
Do you know anything else from the Gemara?
Well, then the item's found.
No. You missed the most important part of the Gemara.
The Ghana.
What?
The Ghana.
No.
So we're discussing. We could either interpret his words as two ways.
Who can?
We as.
Who's we?
I didn't know that was
the
Gemara who wrote that.
The guy, the
person
though.
Who wants to collect the money.
Did you look up the Gemara?
Yes, we did it
originally.
So, what did the Gemara say?
That do we take his words at face value that he actually is switching his words, or do we actually think that he
just
is going to pay
away.
And he's just pushing him away, and that's why he says he's
right.
going to swear?
The Gemara doesn't know how to interpret his retraction.
It's in the middle of, in between.
I don't remember.
It's right after the
Mishnah. Oh, we have to stop. Okay, you have to review the cases. You start in the middle of Tosfos, you can't forget what you did in the beginning of Tosfos. Doesn't that make sense?
It does. Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, no? Okay.
So for tomorrow,
what we're going to do is we're going to go through I think we'll leave the Sefer HaYashar after we finish the whole, because that's like a separate thing just to go through. It's very hard to read through the Sefer HaYashar written. I don't know. I feel it needs a lot of editing. But okay, so we'll do the best we can with it. But you know what Rabbeinu Tam says, which is you can be chozer.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's the important thing. So what we're first going to do is I'd like to go through the whole Torah Swiss. Now the case about the Eved, you know, he stole my Eved, that's going to come up.
That was up.
So that, yeah, we'll go over that too. And then just to see what the whole Tosfos, what they say. After we do that, I don't know what was next on the syllabus. Was it Rabbeinu Tam?
Yeah.
Is there
it went Baba Batra, then Sefer Yashar. And then a Rashbi.
So after we finish the Tosfos with the Gemara and Baba Basra, we will then take up the Sefer HaYashar. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the Rashbi after that.
And then the Rashbi. Okay.
Thanks, Rav Khan.